It's time to watch The Muppets with special guest Linda Ronstadt. So it's like crazy. When he's reading it, you're like, someone let him write this.
I know.
Like,
and then someone let him read it.
Yes.
And you're like following. I would have to pause that book and be like, let me go back.
Uh-huh.
Was he at Yankee Stadium? Like, what? Lauren met him at Yankee Stadium? Like.
It's really crazy.
I know.
Oh, Megan.
Hi, Doug. It's been so long.
It's been so long.
I went across the world and came back.
So it's been so long, yet we've only missed a week as of right now, which I'm really proud of. Like, in March.
Bless
and
up.
February and March, we put in the work. We tried to make sure that we were a weekly show. We were a weekly show for 6 weeks in a row.
We were?
Look at that.
I'm proud of us.
Yeah. Me too. I feel like right now we're kind of dragging our feet because we don't want the season to end.
I don't want the season to end.
I really don't. Yeah.
And I also haven't seen you, so I'm just like...
I know.
Doug, hi.
I was just telling Liz, I'm like, you know, we just kind of dabbled and kind of perfected the recording remote. And I'm like, I don't feel like we have any opportunity to record remote. You don't want to record the series finale remote. We don't want to record anything else we do to start. We don't want to record a movie remote. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's fun to do remote when you really can't get out of the house, but I'd rather do it in person.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, I know we've had a lot of things go on.
Mm-hmm.
Personal lives, family, older folks in the family, you know.
Yeah.
Things like that happen.
Well, okay, do you think we should jump into it, or do you want to talk about
in.
And then we'll pepper in this Hong Kong trip.
We're going to pepper it in.
Because I watched some documentaries and other fun stuff.
Well, I watched things.
The documentary I watched
was
not
fun. Things happened and... Other things
happened.
Oh, yeah. And I watched some movies on the plane. You got to ask me about
Yeah, you have a long-ass plane ride to tell me about. So, okay, let's get things started.
The doctor gave me some drugs this time, so it was...
to help with the shakes.
It was a quick trip.
All right, let's get things started. Why don't you get me
started? Cold open.
No.
Pops being a pops. Just
we
gotta
start even further. Even further.
This episode aired.
We watched the Linda Ronstadt episode 523, airing in the UK on October 26, 1980, and in the US on November 1st, 1980. This might be the closest we've ever seen an episode release come.
The year my parents got married with their Muppet Show. Ball.
Do you know? Okay, screeching
bauble?
Halt already.
Is it a bauble? What is it called? An ornament.
Ornament. I saw the other day on, like, I don't know, my Instagram Reels algorithm is like thrift store people. Yeah. It's like people shopping in thrift stores.
That's the most millennial thing I've ever heard you say.
I know.
I'm on Reels.
I'm on the Reels. And it's like... look what I picked up at the Goodwill. And it was someone had that Christmas tree ornament. And I was like, oh my God, I want that. Let me have that Christmas tree ornament, sir. I'll give you $2.
You know what's so funny when people like get these like amazing hauls at the Goodwill? And you're like, you didn't get that at the Goodwill. Shut the fuck up.
Have you been to a Goodwill lately?
No. But the only Goodwill worth its salt around here is the one in East Brunswick.
Don't go there.
Don't go there.
No, you're absolutely right. I went to one a couple weeks ago over in Hazlitt in Central New Jersey.
I have been to that
whatever.
One. That I one went used there. To be in Aberdeen. Then
and
they moved it to Hazlitt.
They did move it. And in, you know how they have those like glass cabinets where they keep like the priceless items, right? They had Stanleys in there that they were trying to sell for $35. You got that for free, sir.
There's lead in those Stanleys anyway.
Here nor there. But you got that for free, and now you're trying to jack it up. Let some little 12-year-old girl go in there and buy that in the housewares department for $2.
Have you ever been to Unique in South Plainfield?
I have been to Unique
in
South
Plainfield.
Isn't
that one good, though?
It is good.
Don't go there.
Don't go there. Okay. Cold open.
Who are you?
I'm Linda Ronstadt. I'm going to be the guest on your show.
Oh, yeah. Linda Ronstadt. Oh, Kermit said to roll out the red carpet for you.
Got a little moth problem here?
No big moth problem.
Unfortunately, the carpet is full of holes as they've had a bit of a moth as they've had a bit of a moth problem. Wow, I can't read today.
A bit Rusty. Of a moth problem.
A bit of a moth problem.
Mothman prophecies. Is Josh Hartnett in that movie?
The Mothman prophecies. I don't know what happened to Josh Hartnett. I will not answer that question. Okay. I do not know if he's in the Mothman prophecies. I want to say yes.
Is Linda Ronstadt in one of the original? Is she? She's in the first season of SNL, right?
Yes. Linda Ronstadt and Phoebe Snow. I think together.
First season guest.
Yes. Right. Because I remember watching a lot of the first season with you when we were kids.
Yeah.
When we were kids.
We were.
But seriously, it was 17 years ago.
Seriously, though, we didn't think we were kids, but we sure were.
Remember DVDs?
Remember that? I still have them.
Linda Ronstadt already off to a great start. I think this is a kind of funny cold open. I love this moth Muppet. He's really cool looking.
I definitely love the moth Muppet.
The moth is really neat.
Very cool.
I am still tired of Pops. I don't want him to be here. I know we only have two more episodes with Pops, but I've never gotten used to him.
I just feel like season five has been great, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But their biggest miss is Pops.
Yeah. Yeah, this was a fix that was not in need of fixing at all. Honkshoe. Honkshoe, Pops.
I wonder what happened that Pops came around.
I love these scenarios that you write, where you're like, I wonder what happened that Pops came around. Is that like, you know, someone's granddad needed a job, right? So now Pops is...
Because
you're
happens.
Doing this real world, like, where this is Scooter's granddad... And he needed a job, so now they hired Pops to run the door.
Well, this is what happens at private companies, especially like family
owned.
Sure. It's a monarchy.
Yeah.
It's not a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
Someone's family member comes in,
mm-hmm.
they get an office, they get a job, they have a special
He's
part.
Making six figures to hold the door.
Yes, he's qualified. He has the same last name as the other guys. Pops Henson. Pops the Frog. He doesn't look like a frog, but he's related.
But it is his, because his sister married someone, his great aunt married someone, whatever.
He was a tadpole, even though he looks like a human. Now.
But I really do love that every time you speculate things like this, it is that
Well,
someone...
something happened. They must have been out to dinner or something. Like, I don't think Scooter should knock at that door anymore.
No.
Why? Why shouldn't he knock on the
door? I
don't
know.
That's what he did.
Who are you?
Yeah.
Who are you?
Maybe Jim Henson was into old people at this point.
Could you imagine being like, who are you to Linda Ronstadt? Who are you?
Oh,
she walks in the door.
I can't wait to tell you who I think Linda Ronstadt is.
Wait, what do you mean?
Like what I have in my notes.
Okay. During the Muppet Show theme, Gonzo's trumpet blows forth popcorn. The same clip
popcorn.
Was used during the opening of episode 302.
It didn't look like popcorn to me, though.
It does not. It looks like... I don't know.
I thought it was like bubble foam.
Yeah, like some sort of a foam.
Like from Dawn dish soap and it like blows up at you.
Okay. You want to talk to a millennial now. Do you know that they changed the scent of Dawn dish soap, Megan?
No, they didn't.
When you leave here, you go smell my Dawn dish soap.
Do you have the blue kind?
Yes.
They changed the
formula of blue.
How are they going to freaking save the animals
perfumey.
When BP does another oil spill?
I don't know how they're going to clean all those ducks. It's perfumey.
Ugh, I don't like that.
All right, sorry. Moving on. Kermit introduces Bugsy and his hypnotized horse.
This is like an old school skit for them, I feel like.
This is very much like a... And it's like a quick little,
The original. We're going to have the horse... He scared me with those red eyes. The horse has red eyes.
I don't like the red eyes. I think that was part of my problem with Tiny Tall Saddle.
Oh, he had red eyes.
Or whatever. He had just very scary looking
eyes. Yeah, he didn't
I don't
have
remember
red
if
eyes.
They were red.
I feel like anytime I see somebody with red eyes, I'm like, I don't know about red eyes, actually. I don't know what I think when I see red eyes. I was thinking back to that movie, Children of the Damned.
Hey, man.
Back to Kirstie Alley smoking cigarettes.
Oh, God. This movie that you made up, maybe?
No, Christopher Walken
no.
is in it.
I'm trying to figure out who played this character. Oh, my God. Did we say his name is Benny?
And the horse is the Western guy, right?
Bugsy.
That's not his name.
Bugsy was this man's name.
Oh.
Bugsy is played by Whomst.
Imagine if they had Mel Blanc on this show. Was he dead? He must have been
Mel
alive.
Blanc. I don't know. Was Mel Blanc dead? I can't see who played this Muppet, and I'm really frustrated because I can't think of the voice in my head.
No.
Do you need me to look up Mel Blanc
no,
dead?
No, I'll do it. I'll do
okay.
it.
Okay.
Google knows I'm looking up Mel Blanc because I probably look him up all the time and I never remember anything about him.
So up next, Scooter and Gonzo are busy.
89. He could have easily done it.
He could have easily. How old was he, though, in 80?
He was born in 1908.
Yeah. Damn.
81 years old.
So he was 81 years old?
So not a bad run.
Wow. No, that's not bad.
He probably smoked cigarettes and drank whiskey.
He probably did smoke cigarettes.
Smoke cigars or something.
Scooter and Gonzo are busy dragging a large truck in backstage. It contains Gonzo's entire fungus collection. The two race off when they realize that they've forgotten to also bring back the mildew.
Gonzo has been into mycology before it was cool.
Right? He's like, he has this, what is this? This like steamer trunk full of it. And now this is our second episode in a row that features his mildew collection.
I'm sure. He is feeding psychedelic mushrooms to those chickens.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
To the chickens?
Oh, for sure. Mm. He's like, hey, ladies, want to have a good time? Want to have some fun?
And they're like, burger?
Yeah. He throws down some feed for them. It has ground up mushrooms in it. Yeah.
And they're just like pecking at it. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
What's that?
Why do drugs have to be named like the worst shit? So, okay. The most popular form, not that I do drugs, I don't do drugs, so I don't know how I know this stuff.
You learned it from...
But like...
I think they heard that wink.
The wink. I've never taken mushrooms in my life. So the most popular mushroom is golden teachers, right?
Okay.
Most popular. There's another very popular mushroom called penis envy. Why?
I don't know.
Why? Why did you name it penis envy? I don't want to eat the struggle bar because it says penis envy on it.
We're trying to make this, like, socially acceptable, right?
Exactly.
We're trying to make this approachable.
Yeah, that's not good marketing.
Like, stop gatekeeping.
This X-rated. How are you going to sell this to kids?
It...
Not, I mean, did I say that part out loud? No, okay.
But yeah, like, for real, what the fuck? That is shitty.
I hate that. And like, anytime I hear people talk about it, and mostly I'm just talking about my brother. When he and
people,
like,
and by people, you mean one person.
Just like, just shut up. Just say mushrooms.
Yeah.
Like, don't
name... and don't say shrooms. I don't know why I don't like that either. Mushrooms.
Anyway.
Yeah.
We can move on from this. But I do know for a fact, Gonzo is... He's probably growing his own psilocybin.
Yeah. Mushrooms. In that steamer trunk.
And feeding them to the hens. That's how come he's so popular.
Yeah.
And
he's got them wrapped around his finger.
He's such a ladies' man, that Gonzo.
I mean, that nose. Come on.
Can't resist.
What do you think he does with that? When Miss Piggy arrives, she discovers Kermit preparing to meet Linda Ronstadt. He's all dressed up and straightening himself out. He's even bought flowers for Linda, which he runs off to retrieve. I know. This is like the preamble to a, what do they used to call that? The chat spot or whatever? Talk spot?
Yes.
Right? Where Kermit would like...
The talk spot.
Basically bring Liza Minnelli into a room and sit around a couch and be like, eh, talk
Candace
to me.
Bergen.
Candace Bergen. Yeah.
Wait, did she take pictures instead?
Cause she Rita Moreno. I think Candace did take pictures.
I would
You're
do
right.
that too. She's like, I wear pants. I don't wear skirts. And I'm not going to sit next to you.
Excuse me. I have on pants.
Yeah. I have pants on.
Remember, she did that really cool feminist number in her sketch, too.
That was awesome. She's Murphy Brown.
Murphy fucking Brown.
She's Murphy Brown. Do you think her dad was a misogynist with that puppet? And he was like, ladies can't be puppeteers. And she was like, then I'm going to show you, Dad. I'll be a model. I'll be a model.
I don't know if he, I mean, I think he was supposed to have a pretty wholesome act. So I wonder if, you know, wholesome
Bill
back
Cosby.
Then.
Bill Cosby.
Dude.
Do I have to mention any other wholesome?
I know.
Else is wholesome? Anyway.
When Kermit has gone, Linda enters her dressing room, anxious to meet him. Piggy sends her on stage before she has the chance to do so, then locks Kermit up in Gonzo's trunk to ensure they do not meet.
I have a lot to say about this. Like, a lot. But I won't go into too much.
I love that on stage... Bugsy's horse has taken over the act, but it's cut short when Miss Piggy sends Swedish Chef on to introduce What's-Her-Face. I love the idea that, like, there's this, like, kind of mid-sketch happening on stage.
Oh, and they're backstage.
And we have backstage because there's, like, more interesting things. This is the kind of Muppet show that I really appreciate. The, like, instead of making you watch something that's kind of stupid, you're like, okay.
Here's the
stupid
thing.
We're setting that up. And
then
now,
we'll go backstage.
Meanwhile, Scooter is scheming with Gonzo, whatever. Like, I really, really like that.
I want it to be more of that.
Yeah.
If they did a season six, I think it would be more of that.
Have you watched The Muppets, period? It was an ABC sitcom in the style of, like, The Office. And it was about Miss Piggy having her own late night show.
I think I watched one episode with an ex.
That has a little bit more of that. Where, you know, well, Miss Piggy's like got 40 this thing
rock.
Going on.
They were trying to do, like, 40 yes. Rock, but The Muppets.
30.
30. 40.
10 less. 30 Rock.
40 Rock. I really am turning into my grandma. I just say whatever.
Speaking of 30 Rock, though, this is a pivot. Do you have Netflix?
Yes.
Have you watched Girls 5 Ever?
No.
Do you know that it's probably one of my favorite shows?
I'll watch it.
It used to be on Peacock. It had two seasons on Peacock, and it got canceled. But Netflix, like, scooped it up. It's from the creators of 30 Rock, and it stars, it's about four women who were in a pop group a la the Spice Girls.
Oh, you were telling me this, and friggin' Jane Krakowski is in it?
Jane Krakowski's not in it.
Oh,
it's Sarah Bareilles, Paula Pell, Busy Phillips.
Okay, Paula Pell is very
Paula
funny.
Paula Pell is so fucking funny in this.
She's fucking funny in general.
And, okay,
and I
so
love Busy
it's,
Phillips.
And I can't think of her name. Renee something. She was in Hamilton. So it stars these four women who were in a former girl group. And there were five women. They were girls five ever. And one of them, she passed away under, like, suspicious circumstances. They believe she's still alive.
Oh,
but it's so funny. The show, Megan, it has original music that they perform. And there's the whole, let me just pitch it to you now. The whole concept of season one is that they want to play Jingle Ball. Like, Megan, this show is made for East Coast bullshit. It is so specifically our area of the world and our age, like, group when we were kids. You know, like, it's absolutely pop music bullshit. It's so fucking funny, dude.
I love that.
You
it's
have
about
to watch
Jingle
this.
Ball.
So I think the first season had,
I
like,
was more of a KTU Beatstock kind of girl, but Jingle Ball, I'm down for it.
Yes, FM. It's like, I think season one and two each have eight episodes, and season three, which dropped, so Netflix made a new season also, only has six.
Okay.
So there's not a lot to it, but you really should give it a shot.
Well, I have a break because RuPaul's Drag Race is about to end, and I don't think the new RuPaul's Drag Race comes out for a little while, so I probably have some time to watch.
It's so
I can
fucking
fit another
funny.
Show in my
thank well, you
yeah,
please
I will.
Do this
Girls 5 Eva. You have to remind me.
I will. It needs the views. Up next, Linda Ronstadt sings Blue Bayou in a set dressed as a swamp.
I'm going back someday.
She is backed up by a group of croaking frogs with Floyd Pepper, Janice, Animal, and Zeke as her band.
Okay, I love this sketch, first and
the
foremost.
The set for it was really good.
I loved it. Where was Robin?
Oh, why isn't Robin there?
Why isn't Robin there? All the other frogs are there. Except for Kermit.
Yeah, and I can't see anywhere that is
Oh,
Zeke.
I know why. They probably filmed this when Robin was at school.
But Robin was at school. That makes sense. But I was just thinking, is Zeke...
It's just like Eddie Munster isn't in this episode very much because he had school.
So I can tell you the legitimate reason. Steve Whitmire plays Zeke.
Oh.
So that's where Robin would be. But you're absolutely right. Like, it should be Robin. What are you doing? Like, you have this whole cast of, like, you know, real frogs.
Cast of characters.
Frog Blue characters. Bayou. Let's see. I'm loading it up.
Okay.
Blue Bayou is from 1963. It was written by Joe Melson and Roy Orbison.
Wait, his last name is Melson?
I know.
Not Nelson?
No, Melson. Doesn't that sound like a typo?
People probably screwed that name up. Like, you said it was Nelson? No. Melson.
Yeah.
Like Mel.
He definitely missed some checks. Yeah. Right? Like Mel Blank. Full circle.
Full circle. Okay, I need to say this.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the original Adorkable? Not Zooey Deschanel.
You think Linda Ronstadt?
It's Linda Ronstadt. Linda Ronstadt looks like Zooey Deschanel, but from the 70s.
Because she's like a cute, pale, white girl with bangs?
Yeah.
Is that it?
She has the look.
That's the things, right?
That's the look.
That's
the look. Also, this song, Blue Bayou, you know what movie it's in?
What movie?
Man on Fire. Have you ever seen that movie?
Man on Fire. Is that the Denzel movie?
It's starring Denzel Washington,
and
Dakota Fanning, and J-Lo's baby daddy, Mark Anthony. And
I had no idea Mark Anthony is in a movie, let alone...
Oh, I think he's in more than one movie.
Is he, like, the villain in that?
Kind of. You find out he's the villain.
Who's the titular man on fire in this movie?
Denzel Washington.
Denzel is the man on fire.
Yeah, so
Dakota Fanning gets kidnapped from her school?
Dakota Fanning, her name is PETA.
Yuck.
In the movie. She's very
the girl
cute.
With the bread.
PETA, the girl with the bread. So she, like, I know that there's, like, swimming, and I think I used to love this movie. I don't know why. Mm-hmm. It's like a 2-hour and 26
Denzel
movie.
Was on a streak back when this came out. This was like after Training Day.
I loved, like, Man on Fire. Yeah. I think I liked the way that it was filmed. So he was like a washed up CIA agent or something like that. Uh-huh. And he was hired, I think, as a bodyguard by Mark Anthony.
Uh-huh.
And he grew, like, Dakota Fanning's character, like, you know, brought him out of his shell, and he was, like, learning to love, and his heart was growing 3 times the size. You know, all those stories that are the same. And then she gets kidnapped, and he is like, no fucking way. I will find out who the hell kidnapped him. Turns out it was Mark Anthony.
Damn.
Who's the dad?
The very dad.
Paid to have it done.
Isn't that... That reminds me of the episode of NCIS with Abigail Breslin where she plays a blind girl. You know that episode.
Can you remind me?
Abigail Breslin plays a blind girl who gets kidnapped, and I think she ends up having to, like, use senses to detect where she is. Megan, this episode is...
I think
in the long run, she has been kidnapped by someone that she knows is, like, the whole plot.
But
it's from, like, season
most
2 or something.
Kidnapped by someone they know.
I think so too.
Except if you, like, wait, what's that whole idea of, like, when you go to Europe and you get kidnapped? I don't think you know those,
like,
people.
I almost said getting body snatched.
Yeah.
Like trafficked.
Trafficked, yeah.
Body snatched. The Swedish chef tries to open a bottle of champagne, but he is unsuccessful until he tries using his mouth to open the bottle. It is then that the bottle opens and he is rocketed into the air by the cork.
I like the Swedish chef. He's a good guy.
The Swedish chef, there's nothing bad you can say about this. Or
he's
really
got
even good. It's
the
cut
hands
and dry.
Of Frank and the voice of Jim. And
that is like, he's got the ass of an angel. It's like...
Now all I can think about is, I wonder what an angel's ass looks like. Like, you know how Gabriel talks to people and gives them messages? Did he have an ass? Because the angels are supposed to be androgynous, too, I think, right?
And they also, you ever seen, like, a
biblically angel.
Accurate angel where it's, yeah, like, an eye with, like, crazy
that's
wings and shit?
Them.
Okay. You, the fucking face you just made, that's only one of them.
I think, like, people say that, but you have to be specific. It's the Christian Bible.
Okay.
Not the Hebrew Bible.
Hey, I got a question for you.
What else?
In pertaining to the Bible.
What's the difference between the Our Father in the Catholic versus the Our Father in the Protestant?
Presbyterian. Remember, we did that one at
You
funeral.
Say that extra bit at the end.
Yeah.
For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power. I don't know what it is.
Something.
Now
forgive
and forever.
Debtors. Yeah.
Forgive your debtors.
So, this is our Easter episode. And Liz and I were talking earlier about, like, you know how, like, is it only in Catholicism that God was like, whatever you deem law in the church, I will uphold as law in heaven?
I thought that that was the Christian. I thought that was
or
the
is
Protestant.
That Christ- is that? Oh,
I think it's Protestant because the Protestants, I think the idea of that is that you, and maybe it's both, because the idea is that you no longer need a priest, right?
Okay.
So Jesus came about after the Second Temple fell? I don't know. I should know this.
This is you. You know these
things. We were talking about scapegoats before. So you know where the idea of a scapegoat comes in? It's a special... So before... Do you know... Let me back up. Mm-hmm. Do you know how rabbinical Judaism came to be?
No.
Okay. So after the fall of the Second Temple, the priestly class, the Kohenim, right? Those are the class of Aaron, so Moses and Aaron, you know that back in the day?
Uh-huh.
Right? Before, way before?
Yeah.
So Aaron's line got blessed to become the priests. So what that meant is that they get to do the special sacrifices and rituals for God.
Okay.
Right? That's the whole idea. So there's a special sacrifice ritual that happens, I think, on Yom Kippur, right? To the freedom of the sins. And one goat, I think, gets slaughtered, and one goat gets let loose in the desert.
Oh, like,
which
pardon
is the
turkey. Oh. Oh, wow.
It's his, like, wild. I just learned that the other day.
The scapegoat.
And anyway, so the whole idea of Christianity, or a part, the way I understand it,
yeah,
is that supposedly God says, you don't need priests to tell you what to do. You don't need people to tell you what to do. Like, you are connected to God within yourself. You don't even need a church.
Yeah, it's like faith is enough, right? Like, the idea of...
But yet there's churches and priests and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but it's just, it goes back. It's like, there's a story in the Bible, too, like the Old Testament, where the ancient Israelites wanted a king, and God was like, nah, like, I'm your king. Like, you don't need a king. You don't need a ruler. And they're like, no, but we do need a ruler. And so God gave them Saul.
Yeah.
And then, you know, shit happens and people get mad. You know what I mean? It's like, you want a leader and you don't want a leader. You want,
well, I mean,
you want to be free to worship whoever and however, but yet you...
Yeah, we were talking about this in pertaining to, like, I basically said, like, why didn't they make, like, I'm using, like, loose, whatever, glib language, but, like, why weren't the laws made chiller? You know, like, it's like, oh, that you can't have sex before marriage and all this stuff. Like, if you were writing the law and God was like, whatever you write as law on earth, I will adhere to in heaven. So then why didn't you write, like, more lax law? And it's, like, for control. That's why, obviously.
But is it write as law? Or I think it's believe. Whatever you believe.
Yeah. Oh, no, but I thought that it was, like, you know,
if you
in the Bible where it says, like, don't eat fucking shrimp.
No, it does.
You know, like, that is, like.
No, but it does. Yeah. There's something like. There's 365 things that are forbidden.
365, damn, one a day.
And like 248 things you have to do. Uh-huh. And like, I forget like the whole, there's 613.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. But there's 365 things that are forbidden. And yeah, fins and scales. You can't, you can't eat non-kosher, you know, fish. It's like bottom feeders, shellfish, things like that. You have, it has to have a fin and it has to have a scale. And same with I guess, land animals. It's like they have to chew their curd twice or whatever. And
I had no idea.
I forget. Like a cow has, like, a regurgitation situation that happens.
Yeah.
Where they, like, regurgitate, they have, like, and chew again.
Yeah, it's something with the stomachs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. And they have to have, like, hooves a certain way. So, yeah. Anyway.
Bizarre.
Who knows?
See, now, like, when people are like, oh, what is your podcast about? And I say, it's a Muppet Rewatch show. And they're like, oh. And I'm like, but.
But why am I talking about the Bible? I'm like, oh, you want to talk about the Bible? I'll talk about the Bible.
But, like, let's don't just talk about the Muppets.
Meanwhile, I don't even know if Jesus was alive during this period of the Second Temple. He must. I mean, I really
don't
know.
He's fact-checking.
No, I thought the Second Temple was, well, I think Solomon built the Second Temple, but I don't know when it. Let's see. When did the Second Temple fall? I'm going to Google this now.
And I'm going to go through the Muppets Newsflash. You ready? Muppets Newsflash. The newsman reports an unidentified flying object spotted somewhere over the Muppet Newsroom. It is, of course, the Swedish Chef, having been propelled out of his previous sketch. Next, while Megan's still looking that up, we can put on a nice soft bed of music.
Jesus was alive during the Second Temple period. Yes. So you have to understand that it was a very different...
These are different times.
It was a different times. I mean, rabbis now are the leaders of the Jewish community, not the priestly class. You're not doing sacrifices anymore. If you do a sacrifice that is wrong or not done the right way, there's nothing God hates more than a fucked up sacrifice. I'm not kidding. He gets real mad. Real mad.
There's nothing God hates more.
There's nothing God hates. And then if you worship like a golden calf or whatever, he hates
don't
that
do
too.
That.
Wait,
Mubi,
what else?
The golden calf.
Woody, Sodom and Gomorrah, you
meat
know.
On Fridays.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm naming all old.
No, I know. You're doing like real ones.
No. Real ones. God hates meat on Friday. Everybody knows that. You have to get a Filet-O-Fish sandwich from McDonald's on Friday. Or pizza. Or pizza. Your only two options for dinner that night.
A Filet-O-Fish. Rolf the Dog sings The Cat Came Back, a song about Benny trying to get rid of his cat.
I hate this.
The Cat Came Back.
First of all, that cat is not a girl cat.
It's an old traditional song, it just says. It doesn't say.
Is this some British shit?
No, I feel like I recognize this as a reference. I feel like my weird old fifth grade teacher used to sing this. She also used to say, if you, well, I shouldn't have just used pronouns to refer to her, where you would say, like, well, she said that, and then
She's the cat's mother.
She's the cat's mother.
That's a British saying.
Yeah. And we were in fifth grade, and we're like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I literally reached out to a British podcast, and they answered my question.
Really?
I can, yeah, find it. Because I was like, why, what is she? My mom says that. Uh-huh. Like, what is, I don't know what
yeah,
it means.
Yeah, what a fucking weird thing.
It's a saying. It goes to a different saying, and I think it's not put the right way, but you know how we change things around, mm-hmm. and it became she is the cat's mother?
Scapegoat.
Yeah, scapegoat. Cake boss.
Backstage, Linda finds Kermit in Gonzo's fungus trunk. Kermit, excited to see Linda, tries to
Gonzo's
give her the flowers.
Gonzo's fungus trunk! I can't!
That's, like, that would be such a
what
good
is that?
A band name.
Yeah.
Gonzo's fungus trunk.
I like yeah. that.
We've been Gonzo's fungus trunk, thank you. But they've... Wait, sorry. Linda tries to give the... Wait. Excited to see Linda, he tries to give the flowers he brought her, but they've been crushed. Linda proceeds to sing, I've got a crush on you, to him. After Linda leaves kissing Kermit as she goes, Piggy locks the frog back in the trunk. I've got a crush on you is a old Ira Gershwin, George Gershwin song from 1928. Why isn't Linda Ronstadt
Brothers.
Singing, like, her songs?
She doesn't have songs. She sings other people's songs.
That's it?
Sure.
She doesn't, like, have...
I don't know.
She's like a Michael
I'm
Bublé.
I'm saying this, but I think she's like a Michael Bublé.
Like a, you know, she's doing the standards.
I think. I haven't heard one, even
well,
on
yeah,
SNL.
Yeah, even when she does It's in His Kiss, that's not her song. Yeah, you're right. She's
but
like,
I think that was
she's
more...
She's like a singer.
That was a, like a thing
oh,
back
for sure.
in the 70s.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, if you think about it, like a lot of pop stars, they have songs that they sing that are their songs, but they didn't write them.
Yeah.
That's not their songs.
No, and you wouldn't be like, I don't know, like, well, I, you
I
know
guess
what?
The Chicks came out with Landslides.
Uh-huh. Well, wait.
And then Smashing Pumpkins, or did they do that song for sure?
I'm like thinking,
who
yeah,
made
the
what
Chicks
song?
Did Landslide. But why was that thing?
And then the Smashing
Landslide
Pumpkins.
Is a Stevie Nicks song.
Yeah, and then Smashing Pumpkins covered it.
Is it Stevie Nicks song, or is it a Fleetwood song? I don't know if it's a Fleetwood Mac song. I don't know.
I'm so young!
We're so young! I forgot
so
about that.
I'm so young! I can't, I don't know.
Here's our UK spot. You ready? Two terribly depressed whatnot.
We're not done with the cat. This guy is trying to get rid of the fucking cat.
Oh,
it's the cat with the eye patch. That cat is not a girl cat. They're referring to her as a girl cat. That cat's not a girl cat. Whatever. It's fine. Gender is a construct.
Gaffer.
I don't give a shit.
That cat's name.
That cat's name should not be Gaffer.
It shouldn't be.
It has a pirate eye patch.
I don't understand.
Gaffer's not a cool enough name for that cat.
A gaffer.
And I love that the cat doesn't die at the end and they blow up the whole house. If you don't like cats and you don't like animals, bring it to the ASPCA. Don't try to blow up the cat. I don't like that.
Don't try to blow up your cat.
I'll take the cat.
The more you know.
Okay, that's all I have to say about that.
During the UK spot, here we go. Two terribly depressed whatnots sing, I'm so happy, while overrun with cobwebs. I loved the look of these two terribly depressed.
This feels very British dry to me, though.
It does. This is a song by Brian Wade, Brian Engel, and Christopher Smith. What do I have here? That's it. When I click the song, it just says that the song is sung during this episode. It's sung by two gloomy whatnots in a dark room filled with cobwebs. The one has like a Laurel or Hardy mustache, too. I don't remember which one has
which one has the mustache.
Which one has the mustache?
I do know that it felt very British, so I approve this UK spot.
So I was really digging that these episodes really felt like we were going to stick the landing. Like, we're seeing a lot of familiar sketches that we like. Like, there's a Pigs in Space in this episode. This episode, like, we haven't really mentioned it, is, like, a really, really solid episode.
This episode is one of the best episodes.
It has a great
actually.
Premise.
I love it. It
executes the premise wonderfully.
Linda Ronstadt pisses me off that she's flirting with Kermit, and I'm like, girl, bye. Why? Yeah. Are you really like that?
And, like, but she comes to terms with it. You know what I mean?
But still,
like,
no.
she, well, I think the claiming that she didn't know that, like, Piggy and Kermit were a thing is kind of fucked.
But even
also.
At the end, she didn't. Piggy had to catch them again. And then I think to myself, Jane probably was watching this episode and I was like, fucking Jim is
cheating on me left and right. I bet you he slept with Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah.
You know who dated Linda Ronstadt?
Who?
Jim Carrey for a hot second.
Really?
Yeah. Hot second. Hot second.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Who did I just see that's like another weird pairing like that? Like, and I mean like age-wise. Someone dated Tracy. Oh, God. Who dated Tracy Ullman? Is it?
No way. Tracy Ullman, I thought, was married forever.
Tracy Ullman. Someone was dating Tracy Ullman.
She is probably one of the funniest fucking people to hang out with. You know, I got the DVDs Girls on Top, one of the original
Tracy Ullman
British shows with her.
Tracy Ullman dating?
And Dawn French and Jennifer Saunders and Ruby Wax.
So Tracy Ullman has been on Curb for the last two seasons.
No way. I need HBO.
You do need to get HBO.
I need HBO.
Tracy Ullman. Why can't I find this? She...
Have you ever heard her do the original Simpsons voices?
Her husband died in 2013.
Oh.
So she's like...
She's widowed.
Yeah, she's a widow. And why do I feel... Oh my God. This is going to kill me.
You have to hear her do the original Simpsons voices. It's very funny. I have a really funny story. I was talking to a friend the other day, mm-hmm. and she decided to tell me something that she is really, like, sort of ashamed of.
I'm cutting around all this, so you can tell me. You can talk to me.
You can put this in.
Uh-oh.
So, she was telling me, we actually went on a run together on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, so, a couple of years ago, I came out to my entire family as gay.
Okay.
But then I dated a woman and, you know, we slept together and I realized that I wasn't gay. That I just hated men. She's like, I'm so embarrassed because...
So she had to like backtrack?
Yeah.
And be like, oops.
I lied. But why would you come out as gay if you've never...
done it? Like, you know, like,
I mean,
I
guess you
but
know.
That's a lot of like, I don't know. That's...
It's a big commitment to call your
funny,
family.
Dude. That is so fucking funny.
Of course, me, I'm like, well, did you go down on her? And she was like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, okay. That's how you really know.
And she,
it's a commitment.
She was like, no.
She was like, no, that's how I knew I wasn't. And I'm like, well,
that's
I'm glad.
Amazing.
I'm glad you know that. Because I've dated people who don't do that, who claim to be lesbians, who, to me, are fake lesbians. Okay, go ahead. Tell me.
Tracy Ullman.
You could
was
that.
Dating lead singer of Broken Social Scene.
Ooh, good for her.
Yeah, Kevin Drew. She was dating Kevin Drew from Broken Social Scene.
He's good looking. Good for her. Get it, girl. She's probably hilarious.
I was listening to some podcast, and they were Kevin Drew was being interviewed, and he was like, oh, well, when Tracy and I were dating, and I was like, excuse me? He dated Tracy Ullman? That's insane.
I don't understand. She does so many voices that I don't know how she can keep her British accent doesn't sound real.
She
to me.
Plays this insane, like, Ronna Glickman type character on Curb Your Enthusiasm these
like
last
two
seasons. It's so fucking funny. She's like a Ronna and a Beverly. It's very weird.
Ronna!
Because it's like the voice and the composure of Ronna, but the absolute personality of the Beverly. It's very weird.
That's funny.
It's really, very funny. And she's like very obviously like playing older than she is and everything. It's,
she's
it's
great
really,
at that,
really
though.
Funny. All right, so. Up next, Scooter comes on stage to announce we still don't have Kermit the Frog, but we do have Lola the Fan Dancer. Unfortunately, Lola takes flight. This may be the funniest fucking quick sketch they've
laughed
ever done.
Laughed out loud.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Please. I want this at my memoriam, my bereavement. I want you to play this in the background. It was
very
funny.
I have to present
funny.
A tape and say, like, listen, everyone.
Make a Muppet of me and do this.
This was Megan's favorite sketch. We're going to actually now take a Muppet of Megan's body and
it's
play
symbolic.
It to the ceiling with fans.
Let us pray.
How?
Let us proclaim the mystery of life. Of faith?
How funny is of faith?
I'm talking about.
How funny was this sketch? It was so perfect, dude.
I loved it. And she
Lola
had
the fan dancer.
She had electric fans.
When she came out with these stupid little desk fans, I was like,
died.
Ha ha ha.
And she was like, wah 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 wah, like, and then
God
flew up
damn
in the
it.
Air.
It was so funny.
I feel like you can show anyone that sketch, old or young, and they'll laugh.
Yeah.
Just Google it. Just Google the sketch.
Google it right now. We'll take a second.
Yeah. We'll wait.
Linda and Scooter are both still trying to find Kermit, and they discover him locked in the trunk. Kermit tells them that Miss Piggy put him there.
Wasn't me.
And so Linda confronts Piggy. Piggy tries to convince her that the trunk is actually a sauna, and Kermit is loving it in there. Before she has to explain herself further, she's called on stage, and she takes the trunk with her.
Why doesn't Scooter try to get with Linda? I mean, I know...
Because he's a sniveling rat. No, like I don't Scooter know why. Now. I don't know why Scooter doesn't try to get with Linda. Like Kermit's out of the way. Scooter is kind of a weasel. I'm surprised he's not. You know, like
I'd be like, "What's up, Linda?"
Oh, don't worry about Kermit.
Who cares about Kermit?
Kermit doesn't have this kind of coat.
Kermit has. Yeah,
you like green so much.
I know.
Check out this jacket,
Kermit. I think he's. You know, he gets a lot of ladies. You know, he's got just Piggy. Be a number.
He's got Rita Piggy. Moreno. Oh, he's got Candace Bergen. He's got
how many women do you think?
Juliet Prowse. Kermit?
No, Jim.
Jim? I don't know.
Every one of his secretaries.
Every one of his secretaries. That's got to be like, what, 8, I would guess?
Got to be a handful of guests.
He's probably slept with about 12, maybe. Maybe 12.
I felt really terrible because I was like, oh my God, did he get that infection? Like Catherine Zeta-Jones' husband did?
If you guys are unfamiliar, Google it.
Anyway.
Oh, Christ. Pigs in space. The crew of the Swine Truck have captured a deadly robot battle. Wait, what? Crew of the Swine Truck have captured a deadly battle robot. Sorry. And it remains in custody of First Mate Piggy. The ever-observant Julius Strangepork observes that its appearance is that of a steamer trunk, but it's obviously only a clever disguise. Strange Pork has valiantly prepared to neutralize the robot with his Zappo Ray. Though the trunk protests, Strange Pork zaps it into the fifth dimension.
I love Pigs in Space. I'm going to miss it.
This, obviously, it's a clever disguise. Is this our first experience with a robot in disguise? Do you think that Transformers ripped off their whole deal from a Pigs in Space sketch?
Oh, I'm sure
we've,
of it.
We've assumed I stupider,
am
right?
Sure of it, definitely. Damn, you just chugged that whole coffee. I don't understand how you can drink. You have a superpower, Doug. It's drinking coffee at night. Mm-hmm. Sailor's delight. You could just go to bed. It's fine. You're fine. You don't wake up in the middle of the night to pee.
No. And I mean, Oh God, I had my library meeting last week, week before last, whatever, and it ran late. So the library board was going over negotiations for the staff and all that stuff, right? So we knew it was going to be a longer meeting. We had a lot of stuff to cover. And by 10 o'clock, I'm sitting there and I yawned and we were about to adjourn the meeting. And I, for the bit, because I know that it was going to ruffle everyone's feathers there, I was like, I'm sorry, I woke up at 9:30 today, so I'm just really tired. And they're like, they go, 9:30? I'm like, yeah, I'm sorry. And they're like, Jesus Christ. Some of them are, you know, their parents. Yeah, yeah, they're yeah. Like, you know.
They wake up like the rest of us at 5:30.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I woke up at 9:30. It's just been a long day. Linda has pulled the trunk off stage to take it to a locksmith, but she is stopped when Piggy expresses her undying love for Kermit. Mm-hmm. They let him out, and Linda realizes she can't take Kermit from Miss Piggy.
Tell me that Miss Piggy is not a woman.
Miss Piggy's a woman, yeah. She's a whole lot of woman.
Miss Piggy is a whole lot of woman. And yes, she's played by Frank Oz, a man. Mm-hmm. But he is not a man when he is playing her. I'm telling you. There is a mystery of faith that happens. And it is literally, he literally becomes a woman. Just like the wine literally becomes blood.
Yes.
He literally becomes a woman.
He puts on the pig.
And that's it.
And that's he's it. Piggy.
His balls recess up into his body.
I
had to just for you though, just to be like make you uncomfortable.
I think last episode I said nut up, which I can't believe I said.
You better nut up or shut up.
On stage, Linda tells Kermit that she knows his heart will always belong to Piggy. Kermit responds, "You may know that, and Piggy may know that, but the vote's not in yet from the frog." Together, they sing a duet of When I Grow Too Old to Dream.
I thought you were going to say, when I grow up, I don't want to be a Toys R Us kid anymore.
When I grow up, I want to be famous. I want to be a movie. Pussycat Dolls? Is that that?
Don't you wish your girlfriend was hot like me?
That song, When I Grow Too Old to Dream, is by Sigmund Rumberg and Oscar Hammerstein II.
Hammerstein Ballroom.
It's from the film The Night is Young from 1935.
Oh,
Jesus Christ.
What a classic film.
Can I just tell you, like, I am... The one thing that I'm a little thankful for is, like, this... I'm not going to have to, you know, try to fucking figure out pop culture from the 1930s anymore.
No, but you know what's great? We cleaned out my partner's dad's house the other day, and we got so many records, and I was looking through them, and I saw people like Marissa Berenson, and people I would never have known if it wasn't
for Mother's Milk. Have a slight understanding of these people.
Yes, I did say that. Exactly. Exact words. I actually said Marissa Berenson.
That is pretty cool on the slate to be like, oh, I have an actual, like...
I have a reference.
Understanding, a frame of reference for who this
Absolutely.
Person is. Now, at closing, Kermit tries to get Linda to give him a kiss. Though Linda is concerned about Miss Piggy, Kermit assures her that he's taking care of Piggy.
He's such a creep.
Or so he thinks. This is another, like, so
how about a kiss, honey?
It's fucking frustrating, but Piggy's fist coming from the ground is so, like, Carrie White.
Oh, I love that.
From the fucking end, right? Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so goddamn cool.
It's so... From the house, right? Uh-huh. At the end.
Goddamn. Yeah, it really reminds me of, like, you know, Carrie or, like, I don't know, like, Wolverine or some shit.
Yeah.
Like, this, like, you know...
But you're talking about the original Carrie, right?
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Oh, no, I'm talking about, like, the one with Chloe Grace Moretz from... I almost said from a couple years ago, even though that movie's definitely, like, what... That's probably like 15 years ago.
We're so young.
I know.
Just,
we're so young.
It's fine. We're
when I was
so
a baby.
Young. When I was a baby.
All right,
baby.
Megan.
But I do think that Linda Ronstadt, the 70s and I guess the beginning of the 80s, adorkable.
Yeah.
Everybody loved her. She was famous in Latin America.
Yeah.
And USA, America.
She's a huge crossover appeal.
Yes.
I know she did a lot with Sesame Street.
She comes from an old family.
Yeah. She, yeah, definitely.
Definitely
comes
has
from
some
money.
Money.
Yeah. Talented.
But, but I love that she still looks like a real person. And when I watched this episode, I was like, wow. I love watching these old episodes because people actually looked like normal people.
Yeah.
We are so used to people looking fucking crazy
even
nowadays.
She's costumed like a normal person.
I know. Like, her arm wasn't completely ripped and chiseled. Like, she was just like, she didn't look bad.
Yeah.
She's thin, but like, her arm was like a normal arm. It wasn't like a freaking Linda Hamilton freaking
arm.
The
normal arm.
She didn't look like Sarah, you know, Connor.
Yeah.
In the arms. That's what people look like now.
I know. Everyone looks like Sarah Connor.
Everyone looks crazy to me. Everybody has Juvederm lips. Not that I don't want Juvederm, but...
She got them Juvederm lips.
But everybody
Linda
has these
Hamilton
lips
arms.
And these things.
Uh-huh.
And, like, nobody's forehead moves anymore. Everybody
You're
looks...
describing Janice.
But everybody looks so perfect. But it's, like, perfect, but it's weird.
Yeah. No, I completely agree with you.
It's, like, weird.
Like, literally put on any reality show and just be like, this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know. Anyway.
All right, next week, Megan, we're watching the Roger Moore episode. You want to hear the plot to that episode?
I sure do. The finale.
Episode 524, Roger Moore. Kermit calls the Secret Service to hire real spies for Roger's closing number. They're listed in the Yellow Pages. However, Roger wants to do a cute, cuddly version of Talk to the Animals. The spies, anxious for a chance to rub out James Bond, pose as fluffy animals to infiltrate the number.
Rub out? Okay, Wikia.
They're looking to jerk James Bond right out of this episode. All right, join us next week as we watch the Roger Moore episode. Until next week, you can
message
write us a nice
us.
Review. You can message
Tell
us.
Tell us what you want us to do next.
And until next week.
Thanks for the gumball, Linda Ronstadt.